Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My cohort in crime and my partner in this, Dr. Les Olala, is away on a ministry venture today, and so I am in the studio by myself in terms of hosting the show. But with me are some very special guests that I'll be introducing in just a moment. I want to take time to thank all of our listeners for praying for the program and also for me during the time I've been away. I'm glad to be back and looking forward to the next number of broadcasts with you. With me in the studio today is a dear couple who have been friends of my wife, myself, and Dr. Olala, and different folks here in the ministry at Northland Baptist Bible College, Doug and Diane Doolittle. And Doug and Diane, it's so good of you to be with us today, and we're excited to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you.
We're actually in your home, broadcasting right in your living room.
Yes. Yep.
Doug, give us a little background. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you do at Northland.
Well, originally I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana. Came to Northland to work in the technology department, working with the computers as a network administrator. My job to keep all the computers talking to each other.
And you have done an excellent job. I remember interviewing you when you first came a number of years ago, and what a joy to see the Lord bring you here. And Diane, you're from?
Northern Illinois, and I grew up on a farm there and enjoyed my time there.
Now, you've been married for how many years?
9 years.
9 years, and you have three children, three lovely children. You have an 8-year-old, and her name is?
Lauren.
Lauren, and then you have a 4-year-old?
Wesley.
Wesley, and you have a 2.5-year-old.
Yes, A.J., Adoniram Judson.
Adoniram Judson, named after a good missionary.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're active and just a handful.
Yes, very.
Good. Well, Doug, we ask you to maybe take some time with us and Diane as well on the program because the Lord has trusted you with something that would not normally seem to be something that many people would want to be trusted with. But in the goodness of God, the Lord has, in His grace and for His purposes, trusted you with a set of circumstances. And I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity for our listeners to come right into your home and to visit with you about a difficult set of circumstances the Lord has brought into your life. Would you kind of tell us a little bit about what's been going on in your life?
Back in November of 2001, I had a lump on my cheek that was removed, and it was determined to be metastasized melanoma. This was followed by two other surgeries. Another tumor was discovered, 6 weeks of radiation. So in 2002, by the end of the summer, they had done everything they could at that point and did not see any other evidence of cancer at that point. So I was still considered a stage 4, but they couldn't find any other tumors at that point. So they said 2 to 3 years to live at that point. Well, 4 years later, which would be this summer, I had a praying tumor that was discovered, had a surgery for that, and follow-up CAT scans revealed tumors in my liver and lungs, and those have continued to progress to the point where I have multiple lung tumors. Liver tumor is quite large, and I'm starting to develop tumors in other parts of my body.
And this has been going on now since 2000, you said, when you first...
2001.
And you're at a point now where you've done all that you can humanly do with the treatment options that have been available. What treatments were available to you?
I had radiation again this summer on the brain. It's a brain tumor. And then I had chemo, which gave me a 10% chance of extending my life. And during the 3 months I had chemo, my tumors doubled. So they figured out that wasn't working.
So here we are, and we're sitting in your living room, and we're watching the Lord prepare you in His time, either for a miracle of bringing about health to you, or for a miracle on the other side of bringing you to His presence. Is that a fair assessment of where things are?
Yes.
And I know many, many people have been praying, Doug, for you, and your testimony has been really a wonderful blessing to many of those of us who know you, but also beyond that, I know as I pastor Brookside Baptist Church, from time to time, I've shared excerpts of your updates with different ones of our folks. And you have a family you don't really know praying for you, and I think that story could be repeated around the country. Let me ask you, as you think about what the Lord is doing in your life, obviously this has got to be a scary time for you. How have you dealt with the fear side of this?
If I can focus on the fact of the goodness of God, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace, then I don't fear. Because how can you fear with the good God that we have? So as long as I keep my focus on God, when I'm having pain, things are going bad, that's when it's difficult to focus. But give them a little sleep, a little pain medication, I can get back to a right focus.
You know, you made an interesting comment, Doug, as you were giving this response a minute ago, where you talked about focusing in on the goodness of God. I think one of the challenges for me as a Christian, and I'm sure many of our listeners would have this question, and that is, how does this that you're going through reflect the goodness of God?
God only gives us what we can handle in life, and He gives us the grace to go through whatever we're going through. And He sends blessings and encouragement. You know, as soon as you think you're getting down, someone will do something for you. Someone will say they're praying for you. Someone will send a card. There's constantly things of encouragement that people will do. And that just helps remind you that, you know, God's not only bringing you through this, but there are other people around you that are praying for you and supporting you.
My sister said that, you know, it seems like the greater the trials get, the greater the blessings get. As I was sharing, you know, some of the blessings with her, and it's true.
What would some of those blessings be, Diane, if you could just maybe take two or three ideas that God has just really sustained you by? What are some of the blessings that you've seen through this?
It's just innumerable. It's hard to, you know, focus on just a few. I would say that, you know, along with that, one of the greatest lessons that I've learned through all this is just the power of the family of God. And just, you know, as you said, there are people in church families everywhere. I mean, across the world. I had a missionary friend in Bolivia this morning email to me and say that their church is praying. And just the wonder that the love that God has given to us, you know, for one another, total strangers. I have a friend that I've been emailing. Her husband passed away with cancer about a year and a half ago. I have never met her. I can't even remember how I heard about her. But she's been emailing me, and just a tremendous encouragement. And always the days when I when I need encouragement the most, there's an email. And just, you know, it's just amazing over and over and over and over again, or a check in the mail or a card or a package on a very low day. Just, you know, God never fails, and just it is amazing.
How has God become real to you in this? Because it's very evident in both of you as I listen to you that there is a reality to God. And I don't mean that kind of in a mysterious sense, but I mean God seems to be very real to the two of you. How have you seen this produce that in you?
Well, I would say it starts with spending time in God's Word. You know, reading and learning about God is the foundation. And now it has gone from being an academic reading of God's Word to seeing it in real life. And that is the biggest thing that this has done. It's taking God's Word and the truths of God's Word, and they're becoming real in our lives.
I'm going to ask you this in our next program together, but can you just kind of give us maybe a little preview? What portions of God's Word have you found to be particularly helpful?
The whole thing. It's unreal. I mean, you know, I go...
Why am I not surprised at that answer, Doug?
I go through a reading through the Bible program, and it's every day. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're reading. I just sent out a verse in Deuteronomy just yesterday in our update, you know, that God had challenged us with. And it's everywhere in God's Word. Our verses of encouragement. I'd say if you're down, Psalms is a great place to go and get uplifted. But just words about comfort and God's faithfulness are throughout the entire Scripture.
Your verse that you sent out yesterday was Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So let me ask you a very direct question. I mean, I'm driving to work, or, you know, I'm a dad. I'm somebody that, you know, works all day long in a factory, as many of our listeners do, and I get hit with the kind of scenario that you folks are facing. And I'm reading through my Bible, and I come to Deuteronomy 10:12, and I read that. What blessing did you get out of that? How did that become a blessing to you? Because when I would read that, I wouldn't normally think blessing. But you did.
Yes.
So how did you get a blessing? What was the blessing that came out of that?
Well, just the idea of what God requires of us. You know, the fact that we need to love him. We need to serve him. To focus on him. The problem with ourself is we're so full of self.
Hmm.
And even when we try to do right and try to serve the Lord, you know, the Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags. Itself, we're just so full of self, and to be challenged with something that is not focusing on self but focusing on God.
Hmm.
That's what caught me.
Diane, where do you go
to the
find
Psalms?
You mm-hmm. you love the Psalms,
yes,
don't you?
I do.
Is there a particular Psalm that you have found yourself going back to and back to?
It was neat. Our niece gave us a picture with "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh mm-hmm. my help." And then I read a book about that, and then the next verse goes on, you know, to say, "My help cometh from the Lord," and how there's with the paragraph and the different punctuation there, it shows us the different, that there's a question there, and, you know, from whence cometh my help? And then the next verse goes on, my help cometh from the Lord. And
the answer to that question.
Yes, the answer to that question, exactly. And that picture that she painted for us has been such a blessing, mm. and I guess my eyes keep going back to that
yes.
picture and the blessing that it is, and my help does come from the Lord, and he is the only way, the only place that I can get help at this point. There is nothing in myself at all that I can make it through this. And I'm just so thankful to him for his grace. It's sufficient.
Well, the Lord obviously has been your strength. And we're going to continue our discussion in our next broadcast. But for now, we're going to have to wrap the broadcast up. And for those of you that are listening, I hope that you will join us for the next broadcast. And you can find this broadcast on our website. And I hope that this information that we've been sharing with you will be a blessing to you in many, many different ways. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.